Viking believes that a journey on the rivers of the world can be an experience designed for the thinking person. Viking, exploring the world in comfort. Learn more at viking.com.
Learn how to plan, invest, and live smarter with the Raymond James For What It's Worth podcast. Featuring insights from leading professionals, you'll get the latest in wealth management, market commentary, and engaging research. Listen today at raymondjames.com/podcast.
I'm Jace Lacob, and you're listening to a special bonus episode of Masterpiece Studio. 7 heartwarming episodes in, the and introducing Nicholas Ralph title credit no longer feels necessary. The All Creatures Great and Small lead has more than made his mark.
It's a little boy.
Hey!
Why isn't he moving? Is he dead?
I can feel a heartbeat. It's very faint. Hey, come on, boy. Let's get some air into your lungs.
Ralph's James Herriot is a character made for audience affection, and it's a role the Scottish actor truly owns.
When I think about where I was less than a year ago...
I can't imagine that house without you now. It's like you're already part of the furniture.
So much has happened.
All of it good?
Most of it. There's a few things I'd change.
All Creatures Great and Small's Nicholas Ralph returns to the podcast to look back at the first season finale and ahead to the second season of this wonderful new series. This week, we are joined again by All Creatures Great and Small star Nicholas Ralph. Welcome back.
Hello. Thanks for me back.
James performs a miracle and saves Strawberry's life with a radical surgery aided by Tristan. How challenging was it to film these tense sequences in episode 6?
Yeah, we did a lot. I think that was all kind of one day, actually, and that was a really heavy day. But again, with regards to these kind of scenes, anything vet related, from the start, I want to do as much as possible. The rules for animals and entertainment has changed slightly, you know, and rightly so. But everything that I could do, I wanted to do. And those days, I think everyone, there's just a whole new focus kind of comes onto set, especially when the animals are on. But also with regards to this day, we knew it was a big day. We had a lot to get through. And it was quite tense scenes and big scenes that we were doing. So a whole new focus and kind of quiet and calm comes on set, which is lovely. And everyone was everyone was really on their toes, you know, kind of off book, lines learned, everything like that. But it was a fantastic day, but it was a long day, but it was a great day.
This is a major turning point for James. It results in James being promoted to senior vet by Siegfried.
I wanted to say, I thought I should mention, I wasn't completely in the right today.
As close as you'll get to him admitting he were wrong.
Yes, this is me showing my soft underbelly. There's no need to stick the knife in. I should have listened to you the first time.
It's not the animals that cause all the bother. It's the people.
Quite right. I'm proud of you. In anyone else's hands, that animal would have died. It reminded me why I do this job. And that perhaps I should recognize that other people can do it too.
That means you, Tris.
I'm promoting you to senior vet.
Oh. Congratulations.
Are you serious?
I've watched you. You've turned into a fine practitioner. And perhaps it's a good thing that the responsibility of the practice doesn't rest entirely on my shoulders.
No more than you deserve, Jim.
That's fantastic. I mean, thank you.
Not at all.
Will I get to pay a rise?
Absolutely not. Do you think I'm made of money?
What does this moment signify for James? Has this been the culmination of 6 episodes?
Yes, it's huge for James. It's a weight off his shoulders. It's elation. He's gained that respect as well that he was really after. I think it means the world to James in that moment. And also he's been accepted in and by this kind of surrogate family as well of Siegfried, Mrs. Hall, and Tristan. So I think he just feels completely, completely comfortable and, you know, and content there now. And yes, just the cherry on the cake, really.
James goes to the Chapman's farm to help the dog Susie birth her litter with Helen watching on. Seeing James attempt to get the first puppy to breathe, how could anyone, i.e. Helen, not fall in love with him?
Yeah, when, as an actor, when you read that in the script, James gives mouth to mouth to the puppy, I was like, that's great. Brilliant. But yeah, it's a wonderful moment. Yeah, I mean, you can, right? It's adorable. You got to be on James's side there.
James and Helen find each other's hands when they're watching the puppy struggle to breathe. It's a surprisingly intimate moment. How did you read this moment in the script when these two finally even chastely touch?
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, little fella.
Hey, there you go, Susie. There's your new little lad.
Isn't it grand?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Harriet. Hey. You had our Annie right worried there.
Well done.
You too.
Well, there's so much going on at that moment, but it is kind of the culmination of all these little... But they're caught up in the moment as well of urging this puppy on to breathe and to make it through, because it's barely holding on. So it really is, you know, the attention is with the puppy, and it's quite an intense moment. So yeah, to find each other's hands at that moment, I think it seems so natural, I think, is how me and Rach, it seemed very like a natural thing. And then, of course, that can play on people's minds or not.
Did I cheer at that moment? I did. The two of them get stuck up at the farm when the fog rolls in the night ahead of Helen's wedding to Hugh. How does this late night between the two of them shift their relationship with that natural intimacy there?
Yeah, I think you're bang on it. Natural intimacy. They feel so at ease in each other's company. Yeah, and they also reveal a little bit more about each other. It's just that, as we talked about, the relationship growing as well. They're finding out a little bit more about each other, and Helen gets to see James in more of a practical role regarding the animals and the vet side of things. But she also finds out a bit more about him as a person and his background story coming from Glasgow. And vice versa, we find out a bit more about Helen as well. So they've fallen into this moment almost accidentally, and it feels like the most natural thing in the world, certainly for James. So yeah, we'll see.
I might have told you, why doesn't James follow through and admit his feelings for Helen then? What's holding him back, especially as she's due to marry Hugh in the morning and he could lose her forever?
Yeah, I think he's got this constant dilemma of being the good guy, doing the right thing, and then also following through with, you know, this burning feeling of how he feels and how he thinks. But it's this constant battle of heart over head, you know, and his head's, you know, telling him to, as I say, be the good guy, and his heart's feeling something much different. So yeah, it's a total moral dilemma for James.
Before this next question, a brief word from our sponsors. The Great Lakes, the Arctic and Antarctica, iconic destinations around the world. Viking offers opportunities for discovery with a shore excursion in every port. Learn more at viking.com. Coming up next on Masterpiece on PBS, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office continues Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, followed by the finale of Alice and Jack at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. James does get Helen to her wedding in time, and he almost makes it out of town, but stops at the crossroads. What makes him go back, and how did you view that decision? Is he meaning in that moment to put a stop to the wedding?
I don't think so. No, I don't think he's, you know, I don't think it's running back to run in the doors. Anyone speak now, me. I think it really is, as he kind of says to Helen, he just had a feeling that he should be there. Now, yeah, I suppose we can, you can take that as read, but there must be a little bit of other things as well for James going, oh, just maybe. But yeah, I think a bit of those kind of things is what's going through his mind.
I love the moment between them in the church. There isn't this passionate, ardent declaration of love. He just talks to her like a friend, like a person.
I thought you were going home.
Something inside said I should be here.
Told you I'd make a fool of myself. Is anyone still outside?
I'm sure Tristan led everyone to the Drovers.
Of course. You paid the tab in advance.
He does have an uncanny ability to sniff out a free pint.
Oh, James. What have I done? You didn't deserve this. How am I going to face anyone?
You didn't do this because you're cruel or unkind. You did it because you're the opposite of those things.
That's not how it feels.
Your dad's waiting outside with Jenny. Let's get you home.
Is this the most kind that Helen could have been, calling off a wedding to a man she doesn't love, and the most kind that James could be to reassure her at this moment and not put additional pressure on her?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's been such a journey for Helen, being with Hugh for a long time since they were younger and have known each other for the majority of their lives. So yes, it's a huge moment for her. But ultimately, if you don't see a future with that person, then it's definitely the best thing to do anyway is to call off then and there, rather than eke it out and end up doing it a few years down the line and kind of resenting one another. So yeah, it's obviously a very tough decision for her, but yeah, I think the right thing to do.
They stand in front of the altar hand in hand and then walk down the aisle together in one of the most beautiful and understated declarations of love I've ever seen on television. What does this mean for the two of them? Is it an admission of their feelings for each other?
Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I think Helen can, she's well aware, could read the signals. Whereas James, on the other hand, maybe less so, but he's very smart, intelligent, and compassionate guy. So he's very perceptible as well and very, very perceptive. So I think he must have an inkling as well for him to turn the car around, even if it is just blind hope.
But if there's one thing James Herriot always has, it's blind hope.
Exactly. Yep.
Merry Bloody Christmas. The series ends inside Skeldell House with James, Mrs. Hall, and the Farnans gathered together, looking very familial and cozy.
Did you see Helen?
Her dad took her home in the truck.
Your mother weren't too upset you're not coming?
I wouldn't have made it until evening.
So, James...
Lovely goose.
I'm sorry, I can't do this.
Tristan...
No, I can't be the only one dying to know what on earth
there
happened...
There is a time and a
...with
place.
Susie's puppies. What did you all think I was going to say, James?
Let's eat, and don't be naughty.
Before we start, I'd like to say a few words. Don't roll your eyes, Tristan.
I didn't.
You bloody did, I just saw you.
Goose is going cold.
It's times like this which remind me how grateful I am for everything I have. Not the practice or the house or the beautiful countryside or any other thing. It's the people. Infuriating as you all are, I'm rather fond of you. And... well, there's that. So, well, Merry Bloody Christmas.
Merry Bloody Christmas!
What does this final scene say about the found family that James has encountered here?
Yeah, I think he just feels incredibly comfortable, at ease, fully supported with professionally and personally as well. You know, Siegfried's there, he's his mentor, almost father figure. Mrs. Hall, the mother of the house, looking after all the boys, looking out for James, certainly throughout the series. And then Tristan's there as his best buddy, as his brother, helping him out with the more worldly things. Or he notices when he's down, so he helps him out then. And yeah, he's got a good read on James as well. And I think, yeah, he just feels completely comfortable and at ease. And if he's going to spend Christmas somewhere, ultimately, deep down, I think he's more than happy to have spent it there.
His poor mum, though, waiting for him, but that's another story. Rather excitingly, we've got a second series of All Creatures on Tap. Congratulations. And hopefully many, many more to come. What do you hope viewers get to see in the second series of All Creatures?
Thank you so much. Yeah, so excited. So absolutely excited. Well, a bit more of the same, you know, wonderful animals, wonderful scenery. Hopefully we'll shoot a little earlier in the year, so we'll get some nice sunny weather as well. See it in its full glory and full beauty, the Yorkshire Dales. Yes, all the different animals. And then, yeah, just hopefully we find out, we just see these characters grow and these relationships strengthen. And we find out a little bit more of the backstory of other ones. And I hope for James that he really finds what he's looking for.
You mentioned the sense of community earlier. At a time when we're all social distancing due to COVID, do you see All Creatures Great and Small as a love letter to the spirit of community that perhaps we're missing, that sense of connection and interconnectivity that we're missing from society right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not massive on social media and things like that, but it's things like that about you're always connected, but are you really when you're not seeing people face to face and that human connection? So yeah, it's just harking back to a simpler time, helping out your neighbor, community spirit, which I think we all love. And also the other thing about the show, which people have said, they said they can't remember the last time the whole family wanted to sit in and watch a program all together, the ages, throughout the ages. And that's something that we're really proud about as well, because I just think that's absolutely wonderful. And not only was it the whole family sitting in, but a lot of people over social media messaged me pictures of their family pets also watching the show, their dogs and their cats sitting in. So it really is for all the family, including the family pets. It's definitely about that community spirit and community feel.
All Creatures Great and Small has been a huge out-of-the-gate smash hit for Channel 5 in Britain. What do you make of the rabid love for this show, and was that reaction expected?
Yeah, well, it's just a wonderful reaction. So many lovely, lovely comments across the board from people and in the press and things like that. It's been amazing. It really has. It certainly took me a couple of days to get my head around after the first few episodes went out, for sure. I think during filming, we all had a lot of faith in the show and what we were doing, and we were all really excited about it. But ultimately, you never know which way it's going to go. So it really did, you know, the sheer volume, as you say, of lovely messages and things was and viewers was a lovely surprise. Yeah.
So this is your first on-screen role. You're the lead of All Creatures Great and Small. Whose career would you most like to emulate at this point?
Oh, that's a really good question. My favorite actors, the likes of, you know, Gary Oldman and James McAvoy, you know, people like that, they work seamlessly, it seems, between film and the stage, you know, film, TV, and the stage. And I would love a career like that. That I can do all. I say right now, I'm absolutely loving doing screen, as my first venture into it. So I'm absolutely loving it. But yeah, all the actors that I really love and respect, that's the kind of the careers that they have. And I came from the theatre. I love the theatre as well. So yeah, a healthy dose of them all, I think.
Obviously, you learn a lot from your co-stars. There's one co-star I feel like who has remained unsung in this interview, and that would be Gorgeous George, who plays Jess the dog. How amazing is the bond between you and this animal? I love the fact that Mrs. Hall claims that Jess doesn't like most men, but she instantly has approval for James Harriet, which I think is sort of a seal of approval. What can you tell us about Gorgeous George?
Well, Gorgeous George, what an absolute darling. Loveliest dog, first person I say hi to every morning, Gorgeous George on set. He's there, happy as Larry. He's brilliant. He's just lovely to work with. Although I had to get Gorgeous George to come. It was only about 10 yards and I had to just call Jess over. And first time that he came, he went round me to the right. So I was like, okay, because the trainer was standing behind me. I was like, so the second time he went round to the left. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get you this time. So I lined up. He was coming right for me and he went straight through my legs. So ultimately I've done this show working with horses, cows, these big intimidating animals, birthing calves. And the hardest thing was to get a dog to come 10 yards to me. So, but yeah, but apart from that, brilliant to work with.
Nicholas Ralph, thank you so very much.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Coming up next, 50 years of television magic.
Alistair Cook thought it was so bad that he thought there would never be a second season of Masterpiece. He thought it was a dud.
The script was a bit of a mess. There were too many figures, too many people named Thomas. The wigs all looked identical.
There is more hair in this show than in anything we've ever done since. They were, you know, tremendous. Everybody had wigs, the men and the women.
Making Masterpiece, a three-part documentary podcast, appears here in this podcast feed on February 28th, March 7th, and March 14th. Stay tuned and don't miss this comprehensive look at all 50 years of Masterpiece history with exclusive interviews from the peerless personalities who have made Masterpiece and Masterpiece Theater such a remarkable television feast. Masterpiece Studio is hosted by me, Jace Lacob, and produced by Nick Anderson. Elisheba Etoup is our editor. The executive producer of Masterpiece is Suzanne Simpson. Sponsors for Masterpiece on PBS are Viking Cruises, Raymond James, and the Masterpiece Trust. Masterpiece Studio is officially a Webby Awards nominee for 2024. We are honored to be considered among such talented competition, but we need your vote. Head over to vote.webbyawards.com and vote for Masterpiece Studio in the podcast section, where you'll find us listed in the general television and film category. Voting closes Thursday, April 18th, so be sure to get your vote in soon. That's vote.webbyawards.com. Thank you.